Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another session here. We're bringing our great, wonderful associate pastor from Grace Chapel in Bangalore, India, Mr. Jose Lau. I have known him for so long. It's a great honor and privilege to bring you today. He's had a history of about 16 years of IT. He's been involved in ministry on and off through that, but he's full-time ministry since 2015 as associate pastor right there in Grace Chapel, Bangalore. It's an amazing opportunity to see what God is doing in India as we're continuing to work together to fill the Great Commission, see what God is doing across the nations and how he's going to transform things. He has a great message for us today involving what the Holy Spirit's going to do and how we must prepare for the end times. Thank you so much for coming today.
Praise God. Thank you so much, Brother Jeremy. It's a privilege and honor for me to be here, and God has been so good. All those who are watching us, how many of you can truly say God is so good? In spite of everything that's happened all around us, in spite of the confusions, in spite of the uncertainties, we can still surely say God is good. I mean, he brought us to this day. He woke us up with new mercies. Bible says his mercies are new every morning. So literally, he's waking you up with new mercies. Hey, wake up. Fresh new mercies for you today. Wake up. I love you so much. Just take this. I'm just pouring out my mercy upon you. Isn't it awesome? God's so good. I never get tired of saying he loves me too much. I'm his favorite child. I keep saying that all the time. He loves me too much. Loves me too much. Loves me too much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. And thank you so much, brother. Thank you for this platform. I'm grateful because Bible says wherever two or more gather together in his name, he is right there in their midst. Even though we are separated by physical, natural distance, but we are gathered on a platform. And this is the platform that has been set up supernaturally for this time, this season, before Jesus comes for his bride. And we are right here, right now, on this platform, agreeing together, standing together in that name, and he is right here in our midst. So let's just take a few minutes, just to thank our Heavenly Father and our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just, if you speak in tongues, if you pray in tongues, just join me in worshiping Jesus, just for a minute. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We are grateful. Such a loving Father, Heavenly Father, our Father in heaven. Thank you so much for all that you've done for us. Thank you, Jesus, for being obedient to the cross. Thank you for the finished work that you've accomplished. We're grateful. Oh, Abba, Father, we worship you, worship you, worship you. Oh, thank you. You love us too much. You love us too much, Daddy. Thank you. You brought us to this day. You brought us thus far. Your goodness and your mercy followed us till this very moment and will continue to follow us all the days of our life. And we are grateful. For another opportunity to think about you, for another opportunity to speak your words, for another opportunity to declare your goodness, we are grateful, Father. We are grateful. Father, I submit every person here joining us, listening to us at the sound of my voice. Father, I declare every yoke destroyed, every burden removed, every need met in this place, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you so much. We are grateful, Father. We are grateful. Lord, you're good. Thank you so much. Someone with an issue of sciatica, pain at the back. Sciatica is, God is touching your back. God is touching the muscles at the back. Especially you find trouble walking. You find trouble in your knee. You find trouble getting up out of bed. Lord is touching you right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You bore our sickness. You carried our pains. By your stripes, we were healed. We speak life and life more abundantly. Thank you, Lord. You've purchased us. You've purchased us. Our body belongs to you. Our body is bought with a price. Thank you. Thank you. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, is giving life to our bodies. I speak life to those bodies. Every single person listening, Every lying symptom, we cancel your work in Jesus' name. We speak health, healing, and wholeness from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you, Father. We believe, we receive. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Somebody's been suffering with pain inside. I mean, you feel the pain inside, not exactly on the eye, behind the eye. You feel pain there. It's like something poking you there. I speak healing right now. I cancel that work in Jesus' mighty name. Right now, Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Receive your healing right now. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're good and your mercy endures forever. You're good and your mercy endures forever. Thank you, Father. Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. Like I said, we're living in interesting times. You might be looking at the news right now, especially the things that are happening in the Middle East with Israel, the fighting happening in Gaza, and the antics of China with Taiwan, things happening in Ukraine, uncertainties. You might be thinking, is this really the will of God? Well, you need to be sure that God chose you before the foundations of the earth was laid. He chose you to be appointed on the earth at this time. We are not here by accident. We are called by God to influence this generation and the generations to come. In Acts chapter 17, it says in verse 26, and he is made of one blood of all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Look at that. He has determined the times and the bounds of your habitation. So you are not where you are by accident. God appointed you to be there at this time in this place. And it continues to say that they might seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him, find him, though he be not far away from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. So you need to be assured of the fact that God chose you, appointed you where you are in that place, in this time period, for a purpose, that you might seek after him, and he will use you as his body on the earth to do the same works that he has called and appointed and anointed you to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. So you look at the wars that are happening around us, and it reminds me of the questions that was posed to Jesus in Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew 24, verse 3, the disciples came to Jesus privately, and they asked him a question. They said, tell us when these signs shall be. This was right after he talked about the temple in Jerusalem. He said, there shall not be left one stone upon another, and they shall all be thrown down. And then the disciples were quite intrigued, and they asked him, when will all these things happen? What is the sign of your coming and the end of the world? Look at that. They specifically asked him, what is the sign of your coming? The word used for sign here is simeon. That means an authenticating mark, all right, or a guarantee. A guarantee. What is the guarantee of genuineness? That's the meaning of the word sign of your coming and the end of the world. The word end means completion, conclusion, the ultimate wrap-up. And the word world is not referring to the physical earth. It is ionos, which means time period or age. So they were specifically asking him, what are the guarantee signs? The authenticating mark of the culmination, the final wrap-up of this season that we are in? Hallelujah. Interesting question. And Jesus answered in the next verse, in verse 4, he said, take heed that no man deceive you. Wow. What a way to, what an answer for such an interesting question. They asked for signs, and he answered saying, Take heed that no man deceive you. So that means one of the signs, the major signs of the end times is worldwide deception. Deception at a wide scale, that an unprecedented scale that has never been seen before. Deception. That's the first sign that Jesus gave. Hallelujah. And we are supposed to be prepared and to guard against it. Hallelujah. The word for deceive is planao, which means to go astray, to wander off course. Hallelujah. It actually depicts a person or even a nation who, although they were once established on solid ground, is now morally drifting away, going off course. Hallelujah. That's the meaning of that word. And he's not aware of it. Think about it. Hallelujah. And then he continued to say, for many shall come in my name. This is verse 5, Matthew 24. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Look at this. He said, there'll be wars, rumors of wars. Aren't we hearing those? Said, nations shall rise up against nation. We're seeing those. Right. We're right in the middle of it. Kingdom against kingdom. Famines. Well, look at this famine all around, this famine. The climate has changed. Yeah, in India, we can surely say the climatic conditions have changed. It's affected the food production and the prices. Inflation has risen so much. Prices of commodities have gone up so much. That's famine, literally famine. Hallelujah. Famine, pestilences. We just went through pestilences. Earthquakes. Every single day, there are earthquakes happening all across the world. Every single day. There are literally websites that you can go and see. They'll list out the number of earthquakes that happen at different places around the world every day. Hallelujah. In diverse places. That's just scripture coming to pass. But he said, all these are but the beginning of sorrows. The word sorrows is the Greek word Odin, which describes birth pains or the pain of childbirth. And all those women who've gone through delivering a baby, you know that the contractions that you experience before you give birth to a child, right? It increases in frequency as the time of birth approaches nearer. So the frequency of those contractions increase. So Jesus was basically telling us that before his return and the wrap-up of this age, the world and its inhabitants will begin to experience contraction-like pains. Hallelujah. And the closer and closer we get to the very end, the greater the frequency and intensity of the pains the society will be experiencing. Just like what a woman goes through when she's delivering a child, giving birth to a child. Hallelujah. And you know, once those contractions start, they can't be stopped. Hallelujah. So if you look at the last 2 years, hallelujah, you can see a dramatic increase in the frequency and intensity of these events, catastrophic events, occurrences all across the world, in the economies, different nations, hallelujah. And it looks like those things which used to be rare are now happening one after the other. And Jesus actually prophesied that these things would happen, and it's a major indication that the end of this age is near. So, according to the word, these things will continue and will start getting closer and closer all the way up till his return. I'm not preaching doom and gloom. There is hope in these things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why we need guidance from the truth. John 17, 17 says his word is the truth. Psalms 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the only person that can guide you in the word, guide you in the truth is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said it. He said in John 16, 30, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all the truth. He will guide you. The importance of a guide. Jesus knew it. The guide opens up the will of God for you. His word is his will. The guide opens up, makes it clearer so you can see, wow, this is the truth. And it will help you identify the deception that's in the world. It will help you identify the times and seasons that we are in. It will help you identify the move of the Holy Ghost, and it will help you know what his will is at that precise moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it continued to say, he will show you things to come. Hallelujah. The word show means to make it clear, to vividly portray something, to rehearse it. That means even before it happens, it would have been rehearsed before your eyes, you would know it. That's the meaning of that word, show. He will show you, he will rehearse those things that which are about to happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe you understand this. So one of the main thing that is a sign of the end times is deception. I want you to keep that in mind. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, Paul said, this know, Paul is speaking. He's writing to Timothy, who was the pastor of a church. He's encouraging Timothy. He said, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. See, these are the spiritual signs, spiritual and soulical signs of the end times. Jesus was speaking about the outside signs. And here Paul is talking about the inside signs. What's happening on the inside? In your mind, in your soul. This is how people are. And you see it all around. Hallelujah. And he continued to encourage him. In verse 12, he said, you and all that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. And he said, verse 13, I want you to see this carefully. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I'll read that again. This is King James, all right? Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I would like to read it from the Passion Translation. It says, but the evil men and sorcerers will progress from bad to worse, deceived and deceiving, as they lead people further from the truth. The Message Translation says, unscrupulous con men. Wow, look at that. Unscrupulous con men. Does it relate to some people, politicians, leaders? Mm-hmm. They will continue to exploit the faith. They're as deceived as the people they lead astray. As long as they're out there, things can only get worse. Look at that. Look at that. Isn't that where we're living right now? See, this is just an introduction to my message, just to get you accustomed to the times that we are living right now. said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse, deceiving and being deceived. Deceiving and being deceived. The word seducers is goes, which means imposters. All right. They will replace the truth with something else. That's what they do. They're replacing the truth with something else. Hallelujah. That's why, if you remember in Luke 18, verse 8, Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find faith? He's not talking about general faith. The word faith, the Greek word for faith is pistis, but the word used here is in the definite article. It is the faith, de pistios. That's the word used here. And it means, it is referring to sound doctrine or time-tested teaching of Scripture, God's word. See, will he find the Son of Man? When he comes, will he still find those things on the earth? Sound teaching of God's word? Imagine Jesus asking a question. Why? Because these seducers, they're replacing the truth with something else. They are deceived themselves, and with the deception in their mind, in their spirit, they're deceiving others. Think about it. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, Paul again is writing to Timothy, but he's quoting somebody else. I'd like you to look at that. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, he said, the Spirit speaketh expressly. Now, who's speaking here? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly. The word expressly is the Greek word rhetos, which means unmistakably, clearly, something that is unquestionable, which is so certain. To speak in undeniable, unmistakable terms. That's the meaning of that word, expressly. See, the Holy Spirit is speaking so clearly in undeniable, unmistakable terms. All right? He said, listen, it says, sorry about that. Something's irritating me there. He said that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. In the latter times, that's the date that we are in. So you ask me, when did the last day start? On the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, you see, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, the people received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Peter stood up and said, this is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel. In the last days, he will pour out his Spirit. So the last days actually began on the day of Pentecost, and we are right now in the last of the last days. And one of the signs here is, many shall depart from the faith. Again, the same word, the faith. Hallelujah. They will depart. The word for depart is aphistemi, which means to distance oneself, to step away from, to withdraw from. They're departing themselves. See, they're not rejecting the faith, but they're departing from the faith. They acknowledge the faith. Many people still come to church. They acknowledge Jesus, but they're departing from the faith. They're not sticking on to the word. They're not making the word guide their lifestyle. How are they departing from it? It says, giving heed. The word giving heed is the Greek word prosiko, which means to embrace. They're embracing what? Seducing spirits. Look at that. Seducing spirits. The word for seducing is the same word we saw for deception earlier. Planao. So you can say giving heed to deceiving spirits or spirits of deception. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Spirits that veer you off from your destined path. And doctrines of devils or demons. Doctrines, that means teachings that are instigated or inspired by demons, evil spirits. Think about it. This is the sign. This is the sign of the last days, the days that we are living in right now. And this was actually prophesied in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Paul is writing to the Thessalonian church. He said, let no man deceive you by any means. Again, he's talking about deception. For that day, talking about the day of Christ's return for his church, the rapture of the church, shall not come except there come a falling away first. And then the man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition. He said, let no man deceive you. That word, let no man, means it is a word in authority. It said, let no man deceive you. In no way, no way. Let no man deceive you. For that day, the day of the Lord, coming for his church, the rapture of the church, will not come except there come a falling away. The word falling away is the Greek word apostasia. That means a rebellion, a revolt against the truth, against God. So one of the signs of the last days is a rebellion against God. It's the same word used in military terms as mutiny. You know what a mutiny is? When the soldiers go against the commander. On a ship, when the sailors go against the captain, that's mutiny. Hallelujah. That is what is happening. A rebellion against God. And it's happening right now in the churches. Because of the pandemic, many churches have closed and have not opened yet. Many pastors have left the ministry. People are left on the lurch. Like, hey, I'm left hanging in the lurch. I don't know what to do. So many people, even today, we receive calls from people saying, our church is still closed. I'm not able to get my pastor. I get calls from people, messages on Facebook, on WhatsApp. People are in need, but there is a rebellion against God. People are going away, moving away, drifting away from sound doctrine. Hallelujah. And how does this happen? How does this deception come in? We saw people are hearing, giving heed to seducing or deceiving spirits. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look at that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. It says, let no one deceive you with empty words. Let no one deceive you. How? With empty words. The word empty here is kinos, which means words unaccompanied with the demonstration of the spirit and power. That's the meaning of that word. Listen carefully. I'll repeat that. Empty. Let no one deceive you with words that are unaccompanied with the demonstration of spirit and of power. That's how they deceive you, right? For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Hallelujah. And then it continues to speak a lot of things about we walking as the children of light. And then in verse 15, listen, verse 15, it says, see then, you walk circumspectly, and not as fools, but as wise. Now here is making a distinction. You, see that you, who is you? He's talking to the church, to believers. He's saying, you can choose. You have to see to it. You have to pay close attention that you walk not as fools, but as wise. Who are fools? Fools are people who give heed to words of deception. Empty words that are devoid of the demonstration of spirit and of power. They are fools. Said, but you need to walk as wise. Walk means a daily walk, your lifestyle. Walk as wise. So there's a clear distinction there. So foolish people are those who listen to words of deception. So what does the wise do? How can you walk as the wise? It continues to say, redeeming the times because the days are evil. If you believe the days are evil, lift your hands up. The days surely are evil. Hallelujah. Says, therefore, do not be unwise because the days are evil. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So if you do not know the will of the Lord, you are considered unwise. What's the will of the Lord? His will is his word. So if you heed to any other words, empty words, you're unwise. If you're wise, you listen to his word. And it says, and let's continue. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit speaking. Now comes the main point. Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. You see a distinction there. One side, be drunk with wine. The other side, be filled with the Spirit. So if you look at the previous classification, there was a separation between foolish and wise. Right? The fools are people who listen to empty words, words of deception. They are the people who mostly, what do? They get drunk with wine. Remember, this is talking to believers. Paul is writing to believers in the Ephesian church. The church in Ephesus, they included believers who used to worship Artemis. And the worship of Artemis included a lot of drinking wine. And many of them come from that background. So even after they got saved, they continued in some of the habits that they had. So they have to change. So here he's saying, he's comparing them. He's making a clear distinction. Wise and the foolish. The foolish ones listen to words of deception. Words. What you hear, you speak. And now the wise, they also speak. The foolish, they get filled with the Spirit, filled with wine. And when you're filled, when a person is drunk, they speak a lot. I've got so many relatives who are silent other times, but when they drink, they start talking. And that's normal. When a person is full, he starts talking. So the wise people get drunk on something else. They get drunk with the Spirit. They get filled with the Spirit. And what's the sign that they are filled with the Spirit? They speak. They speak. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in their hearts to the Lord. Look at that. They sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in their heart to whom? To the Lord. What about the other people? They also sing, they make melody, but towards each other and the devil. They sing trashy songs. Does it make sense to you? And on the other side, they say, making melody unto the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Look at that. I'd rather be on this side than the other. This is the side of wisdom. The side of wisdom does these things. What's the main ingredient? The Holy Ghost and His Word. The Holy Ghost and His Word. So Paul is urging the believers in the church in Ephesus to stop the practice of drinking wine. And he's telling them to put aside the wine and to be filled with the Spirit in its place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The other side, there are spirits involved, deceiving spirits, seducing spirit. On this side, it's the Holy Spirit. There are spirits involved both sides. So if you submit to this Holy Spirit, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you'll be changed. What's the result? If you read the verses before that, they will continue to walk as children of light, manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. I think that's verses 8, 9, and 10. Same chapter, Ephesians 5. They will walk as children of light, daily walk, manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So this is important. This is very important. Let's look at that verse again. Verse 18. Do not be drunk with wine, right, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. The word be filled is actually in the present continuous. That means it's a continuous state of being. Continuous state of being constantly filled in the Spirit. Hallelujah. The Amplified Bible puts it like this. Be ever filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. The CJB translation says, keep on being filled with the Spirit. The ISV says, keep on being filled with the Spirit. That means it's a continuous lifestyle, a continuous state of being, constantly filled and refilled. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 13, it says the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. That's verse 52. So what the disciples did then is a pattern for us to follow. On the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Spirit and they continued that lifestyle. Throughout the book of Acts, you will see that. Hallelujah. One of the signs of being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. It's a supernatural sign. It is associated with the supernatural. Hallelujah. Mark 16, verse 17 and 18. Jesus said, these signs shall follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. That's a supernatural sign. And immediately after that, in the same context, he said, they shall speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. And everything that you do that is associated with God and the supernatural is done through the Holy Spirit. All the miracles of Jesus, all his ministry started after the Holy Spirit came upon him. Hallelujah. So he continued to say, they will speak with tongues, they will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. So all these things are supernatural, that is associated with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus took special time out to talk to them about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, about the Holy Spirit. He told them advantages for them that he leaves. So when he leaves, he will send the Holy Spirit, the helper, the comforter. And he will be with them forever. And in the book of Acts chapter 1, we see that after his ascension, Jesus spent 40 days with the disciples, talking to them about the kingdom of God and preparing them for the main demonstrator of the kingdom, that is the Holy Ghost. 40 days, special crash course on the kingdom. Imagine Jesus, after his ascension, with his glorified body, a body that can walk through walls, a supernatural body that can travel at the speed of light. So how can you say that? Read John 20 and 21. The disciples were afraid. After they buried Jesus, the doors were closed and Jesus still walked in. It's a supernatural body. And that's the same kind of body that we're going to have in the resurrection. And in that form, Jesus spent 40 days with the disciples, teaching them about the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's look at that. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. All right. Jesus, read from verse 1, but we are looking at verse 4 right now. Said, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. So in John 14 onwards, you will see a whole course on the Holy Spirit. And he's reminding them of that. And he continued to say, verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then in verse 8, he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. This is Jesus saying, said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So the condition to be a proper witness of the resurrected Christ is to have received power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's the condition. The qualification to be a proper witness of the resurrected Christ. Hallelujah. And it applies to us today. We'll look at it. I've got just a few more minutes. But on the day of Pentecost, this promise was fulfilled. And the Holy Spirit was released. And it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 3, and there appeared to them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. And this was a fulfillment of the prophecy that is written in the book of Joel. Peter boldly stood up and said, this is that which was spoken in the last days. So that was the beginning of the last days. And it started with the Holy Ghost, demonstration of power. And if you remember, Jesus said in Matthew 24, we read that before, that these are like birth pangs, the beginning of sorrows. That means all those external conditions of going away from God, rebelling against God, their frequency increases with the passing of time as the day of his coming approaches near. And let me ask you a question. If that has a power to increase in frequency, what about the manifestation of the Holy Spirit? I believe similarly, the intensity of the manifestation of the power of the Holy Ghost, the manifestation of the glory of God through his body will increase as the days approach. And we are actually right in the middle of it. Hallelujah. We are right in the middle of God, a mighty move of God, where just like the birth pangs increase before the time of birth, the intensity of the manifestation of God, the manifestation of the glory of God, manifestation of the supernatural power and demonstrations of the Holy Spirit are increasing every day. Every day. Hallelujah. Said, the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Hallelujah. It's talking about you and me. In this time, this season, this age. That's us, my brother, my sister. Hallelujah. And the channel for all that is through the Holy Spirit, with the baptism in the Holy Spirit, where instead of words of deception, you are speaking words. Words inspired by the Holy Spirit. You speak words as the Holy Spirit gives you utterance. Hallelujah. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5, he said, I wish, I desire that you all speak in tongues, the whole church. And immediately, I mean, following that in verse 18, he said, I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than you all. That means the whole church included. I speak in tongues more than all of you. His speaking in tongues opened up the channel for him to receive supernatural revelation of God's word that presented the New Testament to us, that presented the epistles to us. Think about it. Even the Gospels, Matthew and John were the disciples who were there with Jesus, but Mark and Luke, they were not with Jesus. They followed Paul. The greatest verse on faith, Mark 11, 23 and 24. Mark wrote it. Who was Mark? Mark was the person who was responsible for Paul and Barnabas separating. It's the same guy. Because of him, contention arose between Paul and Barnabas. They split. They were called together by God. That same guy later repented, and Paul said, he is profitable unto me. And God used him to write the gospel. And today we read that, and because of Mark 11, 23, 24, the greatest movement of faith happened in the last decade. And Luke was not there with Jesus. Luke was a physician who was there with Paul. And how did all these things come to pass? Because Paul chose to speak in tongues more than everybody else. He opened the channel for the manifestation of the glory. And still today, till today, those words open up God, a revelation of God for us today. Hallelujah. That is chosen as a holy canon for us. That's what we read, the epistles, the book of the epistles. He chose to speak in tongues more than everybody. That means if he is not speaking to someone, if he is not eating food, drinking water, or sleeping, every moment that he got, he was speaking in tongues. He was in direct communion with God. So what is speaking in tongues? Number one, it is a manifestation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But Paul gave a little more explanation in 1 Corinthians 14. He said, if I pray in tongues, it is my spirit praying. My understanding is unfruitful, but my spirit prays. Hallelujah. So it is his spirit praying. In verse 2, he said, when he who speaks in unknown tongues speaks to God and not to man. In the spirit, he speaks mysteries. So number one, when you speak in tongues, it is a proof. It is a demonstration of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Number two, you're speaking to God and not to man. Number three, it's your spirit that is praying. Number four, and those he's praying with words given by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit gave them utterance. So what is the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Or what is speaking in tongues? It is your spirit, your born again spirit, which is created in the likeness of God, the new creation, speaking to God with words given and inspired by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It's your born again spirit speaking to God with words inspired or given by the Holy Spirit. And in verse 2, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, it says, we speak mysteries. The word mysteries is something that is hidden, that is kept veiled, covered. It says, we speak mysteries. What are these mysteries? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, it says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. What are you speaking? The wisdom of God in a mystery. So anytime you say, your understanding was unfruitful. You did not understand what those words meant, but you just spoke a mystery. That was a mystery that is kept hidden from your understanding, but it's a wisdom of God. It's a wisdom of God. See, we have not left our topic. We are still in that topic of deception. Deception is by empty words. But wisdom comes from speaking God's words, words inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it says, this is the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. And as you continue reading 1 Corinthians 2, it is talking about those things of God. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for them, those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. See, this is a revelation of the mystery of God. You're speaking those things out, and it is revealed by walking it out with the manifestation and demonstration of his power and the fruits. The demonstration of power is for people to see, and the fruits are for them to taste and enjoy the goodness of God. Imagine this. Just imagine living that life. It's for us today. It's for us today. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 39, do not forbid to speak with tongues. Hallelujah. Why? Because that is for us today. It's for us today. It's the gate that God has opened up to cancel deception, to cancel the work of demonic spirits. So my brother, my sister, my time is up. You need to understand that this is the will of God for you. This is the wisdom of God for you. We are living in an age of deception where it is easy for believers to be sidetracked, to deviate from the truth. It's all around us, the social media, the TV, the television channels, the radio, the internet, it's all around us. And the main purpose of those things is to deviate us from the truth, from the faith, the sound teachings of God's word. They're here as distraction. And where do they come from? From seducing or deceiving spirits. Sometimes, surprisingly, yes, it will come from the church, from the pulpit, it may come. Words of deception. Why? Because the pastors have been going back. They've not been praying enough. They've not been submitting to the word. They've been just there with the world. So they submit to those deceiving spirits and can lead the people astray. We need to get our focus back on God, his plans, his purpose, the wisdom of God, and his Spirit. Hallelujah. So make a decision today to stand against deception. It comes with a choice. You need to choose to resist deception today. It's all around us. Submit to the Spirit. Take time out from the world system. Take time out from the world system. Submit to the Word. Submit to the Spirit. Be praying in tongues. You are opening the channel for the glory of God to be manifested in and through you. So you will be a witness of the resurrected Christ. They will see the resurrected Christ in and through you. Hallelujah. I believe you received something. You're blessed. Let me just pray for you. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for this time that you gave us. Thank you for another opportunity to speak your word. Father, it's a privilege for us to speak your word. It's a privilege for us to hear your word. Thank you so much. You're such a loving Heavenly Father. All things pertaining to life and godliness have been given to us through your word, like the exceeding great and precious promises. And we submit to that word. We submit to that truth. And it sets us free. Free from the deception that the world is trying to put in our minds. Free from the deception that is trying to pull our family members, our children away from the faith, the sound doctrine. Thank you, Holy Ghost, that you're with us and you're in us. Thank you that you're upon us with power. We acknowledge you. We acknowledge your leadership, and we submit to that leadership. We submit to the word. Father, I submit every person under the sound of my voice. I call them set free right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Jeremy. Thank you so much. I really appreciate this time that you've given me. And I'm happy for the people who've taken time to tune in and listen to us. I call you all blessed. In Jesus' name.
Thank you. Brother,
I think you're muted.
Yes, I was muted. Thank you so much for this opportunity as we were discussing before the broadcast began about the bowls and other things that are happening in the book of Revelation and the signs, wonders, and miracles and the things that are happening today as we discussed. It's like a mixing formula that Satan's trying to do, and there's pieces of it that he's already got it fine-tuned and it's perfect. Mm-hmm. And it's in today's quality, and there's other things he's still shuffling around, and other places are getting worse, signs, wars, different problems. We as the church have to wake up. We have to be ready. We can't be independent, codependent. We have to be completely dependent upon God. We have to completely rely on him to do what he wants us to do so that we can say, as you said, to be continuously in that form of worship with Christ all the time so that we can be effective in what God wants us to do.
So true.
We got to be in that frequency. True. We got to be in that moment so we can see what
God
wants.
And it's a choice every day. It's a choice every day.
Thank you so very much.
You're welcome, brother. Thank you.
God bless.